Let's see, yesterday we, am I muted or people can hear me? People can hear me, okay. Yesterday we learned the Gemara on Ches on the Days with the famous thesis that the Rav was Koifer Rav Nosson to give a fortune of money for Tzedakah, and Thesis discussed the Kasha, that Tzedakah ought to be similar to Kibbut Aviyim. So just like the Gemara says in Chula, in the beginning of Perek Kol HaBosar, Kol Mitzvah Sesei, Shematin Schor B'tzidah, whenever the Torah promises right next to the mitzvah, Torah promises B'tzidah, the reward. So that should be enough of an incentive for people to observe the mitzvah. So Bezin doesn't have to be Koifer. So why is it that Bezna is Kaifa ala Tzedakah? Tzedakah is also mitzvah saseh, shematin tzchor b'tzida. So we discussed all the different suggestions that the Tosis gave and what Rav Chaim suggested, different answers. Then the Gemara we left off, I think we left off right after that. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk HaMaskilim Yazir Kizoyer HaRakia. What is that referring to? So the Gemara interprets that's a reference to Zed Dain Hadon Din Emes La'amita. This expression appears a few times in the Gemara. Dain Hadon Din Emes La'amita. Why the repetition of the same expression? So Hadon Din Emes means he doesn't falsify the din. Whatever the din is in the Gemara, if Reuven is like this and Shimon responds like that, what's the din? That's a din emes. What's a din emes lamita? So Tosis explains, din emes lamita means if the Dayan has a hunch, if he sniffs that there's something fishy going on, even though on the books it says that if the Taveh says like this and the Nitva says like that, the Pesach is like this. He pays, he doesn't pay, he takes a shvua, the Taveh, the Nitva. He doesn't just follow the books. If he smells that there's something fishy, he feels that it's a din merumah, then he doesn't give a psak on the case at all, because he knows that there's something fishy going on. That's called don din emes lamita. So a dayan is don din emes lamita. That's called all of akosrim hamaskilim yaziru yizayir harakia. And what is the end of the pasuk referred to? Matzdika rab kechovim liyalam. But who are the matzdika rabim? The people who get those individual Jews who get masses of people to do tzedakah, matzdike harabim, elagaboy tzedakah, that they pressure the public to give tzedakah. But mastita tana, there's a brisa that says not so. The first phrase in the pasuk goes on both, hamaskin miyazir gizor harakia, that refers to both dain don and emes lamita and gaboy tzedakah. So who are the matzdike harabim? Who are those who get the rabbim, not get the rabbim to do tzedakah, but get the rabbim to be tzaddikim? Get the rabbim to be tzaddikim. So the Gemara says, Eilu melamdi tinoikas, if you don't teach the children abba be'er, if you don't give the foundation, or if you don't give a good foundation. Years ago, when I was a little boy, they used to have people in chinuch who were apikursim, they were maskilim, they knew ivrit. And all the day schools insisted on Ivrit b'Ivrit. That was the most important thing. And the teachers who were teaching Ivrit b'Ivrit, they weren't Shomer Shabbos. They weren't observing people. The whole mila was that they knew Hebrew. So that's not right. So matzdiki harabim, eilam alamdi tenoikas, if the alamdi tenoikas are yirei shamayim, they're matzdiki harabim, they get the rabim to become tzaddikim. So all of our kosevim, they'll shine like the stars in the sky. Kachovim liolam vod. Who? What's a good an example? What's a very good example of melamdi tenoikas who's shining like a star? The Gemara says, Kegon man. What's an example? Amar Rab Kegon Rab Shmuel Bar Shelas. He was a melamed in the days of the Gemara. The Rab Ashkechel Rab Shmuel Bar Shelas. On one occasion, he met him. The Habikoi begins. He was roaming around in a garden, Amalei. So he said, what's going on? I thought you were Malamed Tinoikas. You left the classroom and you left the students alone. Shavke Seleh Nusach. You gave up your, you lost your reliability. You're no longer taking care of the children, Amalei. No, for 13 years you haven't seen me at all. Hotleisa Shnindala Chazoili. It's 13 years you haven't seen me. Because I was always in the classroom with the children. I never walked in their garden of Ahashtanami. Now I went out for a breath of fresh air. I went out just for a little break, and I'm thinking I'm watching the children from a distance. I'm taking care of them now. Awesome. Then Gemara says, Rabbanamai, what about Stam Tamina Chachamim? Not Malam de Tinoikis like Rab Shmo Bar Shela, Stam Tamina Chachamim, who pass Kanshailas and they learn. Omaravina, that's the end of the Pasuk. Ovav could say, that's the Pasuk in Shiraz Dvara. Ovav could say, Sashemish Big Rosa. The Pasuk speaks about the Rabbanim also in a very beautiful, praiseworthy way. Tana Rabbanan says in the Braisa, you have to have two gaboyt stocked because they moisten sorora shalmom and alatziba pachas bishnaim. Gaboyt stocked and rasham lifrosh zem mizeh. If you're going to have two gaboyt, but they won't be going together, one will be going in one part of the city, one will be going in Bronx, one will be going in Manhattan. So that, what does it help? They have to be near each other. They have to be together. They have to be together or very close to each other. So the Gemara says, and Rasham Lifizem is if they're not going to be together, so you don't have the Sorora Bishnaim. I will this you do allow Avol Perizel Shar Vizel Hanus. If they're near each other, one is going to go into the shop. There are people who are shopping, then one is going to go to the Shar Hay where people are standing around, sitting on the benches in the park. They're near. The two gaboyt stocker can see each other from a distance, and they're both collecting stocker. So since they're within eyesight of each other, that's called that they're together. What if the gaboyt stocker is walking in the street, Motzamo is Bashuk, he finds a $10 bill in the street. So he has the right to keep it. It's just because he's a gaboyt stocker, he doesn't have to give it to the stocker. But he's going to put it in his own pocket. People are going to be chayshed, just like they won't realize that he found it in the street. It's a dovshal hefker. The Gemara says in Eilam Metzias that whenever you find money in the street, you have a right to assume that the owner was already Messiahish, because we assume other, even though Yerushalami Das Lo Habi Yush, that's one of the six cases, the Yal Kigam, the Rosh Tevis, Yudai and Lamet, Kuf Gimel Mem, the six cases where the din is like Abai against the Rava. Whenever there's Machlik Sabai Barava, in the later generations, Alpi Pashtas, they voted on each case individually. And it turned out that the Ruba of the cases, the consensus was like rubber, except for these six cases where the consensus was like Abai. That's the Pashtas. The Maharsha has a suggestion later in the Masichta, thing in the second parak. Maharsha has in the Chiddush Agoda that he thinks that even during the lifetime of Abai Varaba, it was already always Gepaskin that the din is only like Abai the Al Kigam. And the din is like rubber by everything else. But the Pashtus is not like that, Maharsha. The Gemara says that the students of Abai Barova would try to recruit more Talmidim to learn by their Rebbe. And they were vying with each other. Talmidim of Rava tried to convince everybody to learn by Rava. Talmidim of Abai tried to convince everybody to learn like Abai. Like those who learned in Shalavim tried to convince everybody to go to learn in Shalavim, and those who learned in Etzion tried to convince everybody to go to Etzion. They think their Rebbe, their yeshiva is the best in the world. So that when they were trying to convince the Talmidim to learn right by Rava, so they told the new students, Adigarmisa Garmi Be Abai, instead of chewing bones by Abai, to come, Achli Bisrishmeina Be Rava, come and eat real fat flesh by Rava. So simple pshat in the translation of the words is that the cafeteria in Rava's yeshiva served better food than in Abai's yeshiva. Abai's yeshiva, the food was awful, and they just were licking bones, they were chewing bones. And Rava's yeshiva, they ate fat flesh. So that's a little funny. That's what they were convincing the students to come, because the food is better by Rava than by Abai. So the Mashor has a suggestion. He says, the gematria of Yalkigam is the same gematria as Garmi. So that's what this was during the lifetime of Abai Barabbas. So they said, instead of going to learn like Abai, all he has is the Garmi, the gematria of Garmi, Yalkigam. All he has is Yalkigam. Come learn by Rabbah. Rabbah has everything. All the halachas are like Rabbah except for Yalkigam. So the Mashua is interpreting that during the lifetime of Abai Barava, had already been established that the din is only like Abai B'Alkigam. I think there's a Tesis in Kiddushim, a Tesis says not so, that was established, that Hilchasek Abai B'Alkigam was not during their lifetime. That was later. The Pashto says all the klolim that the Gemara has in Yevamos, in Erevin around Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, I think a whole Amud Gemara, a long Amud. Amei Rabbi Yuda, Alachik Rabbi Yuda. Whenever there's a machlokes atanaim, whenever there's a machlokes amaroim, so the Gemara tells you what the psak is in every case. So it's not that the amaroim voted we should always paskin like Rava, we should always paskin like Bai. Boshe Pshat, there was a big machlokes among the Rabbanim here in America 80, 90 years ago. So Rabban Soloveitchik, when he taught the Nishiv, he said he thought Boshe Pshat. I thought that was Boshe Pshat was correct. They didn't vote. The Democrats always vote Democrat. The Republicans always vote Republican. We're going to vote like Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon all the time. No. The Tzais doesn't always have the best pshat, and the Nesivis doesn't always have the best pshat. In each case, you have to determine who has the best pshat. There's no Pesach who wins all the time. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't always win all the time. And Rav Soloveitchik doesn't always win all the time. Whoever has the best pshat, whoever has the best shita, that's the way we paskin. So the Pashto says that they voted in the later generation, they voted on each and every individual machlokes, and that's the way it turned out. Hilchas Rabbi Yisrael Kishmo Bedina, not that we decided we're always going to paskin like Rabbi Yisrael, we're always going to paskin like Shmuel and Dina Mamunis. They voted on each machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, and that's what it turned out. The Ruba of the cases in Mamunis, the Dina is like Shmuel. Once in a while, there's an exception to the rule. The Ruba, the kid, the machloikas in between Rabbi Shmuel and Issa Vehete, the din is like Rabbi Hilchasik, Rabbi Yisur. So the same thing, Abai, Rover, Amer, Abuda, they voted on each and every individual machloikas, and then it turned out that the consensus was like that. Yeah. So the Gemara says that the Mishum Arisayan, the Gaboy Tzedakah, shouldn't do something that looks fishy, so no one should be choshed them. So the Gemara says, Matzamoz Bashuk, the Gaboy is going to collect, he has a pushka, he's collecting Tzedakah, and he finds a $10 bill in the street. So we assume that it's not a Yiyo Shalamidas. We assume the Bailim money doesn't have any simon on it. There's no way to prove that all the dollars are the same. What does it help you wrote your name on the paper bill? So what? You can write. That doesn't prove that it still belongs to you now. Maybe you paid some, you bought some merchandise and you paid with that dollar bill, with that bill. So the Gemara says, whenever you find money in the street, we assume adum asui lamashmish mikisa b'chol shoa b'shoa. People are always putting their hands in their pocket all the time and counting their money. So if you find money, it's biadua that the one who lost it was already misraish. It's not going to be a Yerush Alamin. That's going to be a Yerush Midas. That's what we once discussed. Is that really still true, Bizman Hazeh? People still put their hands in their pocket to count their money today. It's generally not true. Maybe the person dropped a $100 bill, and maybe he dropped 100 singles, and he doesn't even realize it. People don't keep on counting their money. So why do we still paskin like Din and Nigmar, like that Din and Nigmar? So perhaps one can say, we don't, no longer. Maybe you should not paskin like that Din. Maybe if we find money in the street, you have no right to assume that the one who lost it was already an Isyayish. Maybe it will be an issue of Yerush Alamidas, and you should try to be Machriz. You should try to be Mefarsim. Who lost money? A quote from the Chazon Ish, in the first biography of the Chazon Ish, in the Pe'er Ador, the five-volume biography that came out soon after he passed away. So there they quote that they once asked this question to the Chazon Ish. Why do we still paskin like the Mishnah on the assumption that we do still paskin like that? So the Chazon Ish said that the Tanoim established that was the din based on the facts in their time. And then they said, this is the din, even if it doesn't correspond to the facts. What right do they have to do that? Hefke bezna hefke, they have a right to. But that's questionable. How did the Chazon Ish know that that's true? Maybe the din in the Mishnah was not that they said it should be a loy plug, hefke bezna hefke, the dervi dervis, it's always going to be the din like that. Maybe the Tanoim only meant that's the din in their generation. You're going to see the next Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amen Aleph. The Pashto says that the Mishnah doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh, that the size of the field in the days of the Tanoim, the farming was done by hand. And they didn't have they didn't need gigantic farms today. A little farm like that, a 2x0 farm, would be worthless. In the days of the Tanaim, it would be something. Today, the fellow would be out of business. If he has that farm that size, it's useless in Gansen today. So the Pashto says that you have to figure out what the shear of the Sodah should be b'zman hazeh. Not going to be the same shear as it was then. Sometimes the Gemara had that say, for example, the Gemara says, you're only chayv a mezuzah if the room has dalet amos al dalet amos. So that's probably shurim halacha l'moshe misinai, that even if bizman hazeh, the minig in America is that rooms are much bigger than dalet al dalet, but maybe that's shurim halacha l'moshe misinai. Maybe it's not halacha l'moshe misinai. Maybe the chachamim established that's the shir, but that I can see, that's a shir kavu al adaris. But to say that the shear mentioned in the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph, minimum size of the Shemicholik, Adayin Shmai Olav, for a Sada, today it's going to be much bigger than the shear that's mentioned in the Mishnah. So how did the Chazon Ish know that Mishnah that says if you find money in the street, we assume it's always a Yir Shmi Das. Maybe that was only in the days of the Tanaim that this something that was true. The fact was, Adamasa the Mashmash Bikisa B'chol Shah B'shah. It's a Ruba de Lesa Kamana. And Holcha B'mamen Achar HaRoy means you can't be Moitzi Mamen based on a Roy. But here you're not being Moitzi Mamen. Here I find money in the street. The question is it an Isa Gezel if I keep it? Or do I have to be Machriz? Do I have to give it back to the owner? So we have the right to assume based on a Roy. Rabbin Adam Asuyim L'mashmash Bikisa B'chol Shah B'shah. So we assume that it's lachayish, and lachayish, you have a right to keep it. So you're not being mighty mammon from the muchzok. The mammon is not, you're not, if you pick it up and you keep it, on the assumption that it's lachayish, you're not being mighty mammon from the muchzok. So in the days of the Tanaim, that was the din. It's a question whether the din is still the same. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. If the Gizbush of Tzedakah is walking in the street and he finds a $10 bill and he has a right to pick up and keep it because we assume that it's lachayish, because we paskan like Abai, that I remember there used to be a professor here in Yeshiva College. He taught Jewish history. He was not too learned at all. So he didn't realize that the din is like Abaye bi Al-Kagam Yerushal Amidas. He just knew the din is always like Rava. So he was reading a tshuva from the Maharam Rutenberg in class to the students, and it didn't read straight because the Maharam Rutenberg was assuming that the din is like Abaye b'Yalkagam, Yush Alamidas is not Lo Habiyush, and the professor didn't realize the din is like Abaye. So he was reinterpreting the whole tshuva of the Maharam as if the din is like Rava, that Yush Alamidas is a good Yush. But it's not a good Yish. But by money, we assume it's a Yish Midas, because Od Masya Lamash Mishpikisa B'chol Shav V'shah. So the guy by Tzedakah, if he finds a $10 bill in the street, he keeps it. He's not mechuyev to give it to Tzedakah. But if he's going to put it in his own pocket, people will think that he's pocketing some of the money from the Pushka, from the Tzedakah. So he has to put that money into the Pushka. Motza Moz Bashuk Le'itim Etoch Kisa. You shouldn't do something that's Mishum Arisayim. He should remember how much it was. It was a $10 bill. When he goes home, he should take it out. Yitlim. When he goes home, he can take it out of the pushka and put it in his own pocket. That's his. He never intended to donate it. Someone owed the guy by $100. And the fellow sees the guy and says, I owe you $100, and he gives him the money. So the guy is going to put the money in his pocket. Puts it in his own pocket. People would think that he's pocketing the money from Tzedakah. And the nois and the tocharniki, Tzedakah has to put it into the pushka. But he knows how much it was. He counted it. It's $100. That's how much he owed him. Shiova the beisai, yitlim. When he goes home, then when someone's watching, then there's no marisayin. We spoke that two dinim are marisayin. There's one dinim marisayin that a person is not the balabos of his own reputation. You're not allowed to do something that may cause you to ruin your own reputation. People will think that you're a ganef. That's like lashon hara on yourself. You're not allowed to talk lashon hara about other people. You're not allowed to cause, you are not the balabos on your own reputation. You have no right to ruin your own reputation. So that's one din of Marisayin. The Yisim Nikim, the Hashem, the Yisod, the Mishnah in Shkolim, the Mishnah in Shviyas talks about the Mishnah in Shkolim and in Shviyas talks about Marisayin. And then there's another din of Marisayin. That part of Marisayin is Mishum Chashad. People will be choshed that I'm doing it out there. Then there's another din of Marisayin. Let's say I'm going to go into a Trefa restaurant to use the washroom or to buy a Coca-Cola. And people are going to think, so if it's a Trefa restaurant, people will think I'm a hypocrite. I go with a beard and I act like a tzaddik with my tzitzis out, and then I go and I eat Trefas in a Trefa restaurant. So that's also Mishum Marisayin Chashad. Then let's say I go into a restaurant that has a very weak hashgacha that's not reliable. I'm going not to buy any meat there. I'm going to use the washroom or to buy a Coca-Cola. But people will misunderstand. They may think that it's a good hashgacha for haraya than going in to eat the sandwich there. So that's also because of lifneiva l'sitei mirshal. Usually lifneiva l'sitei mirshal is bekum v'yasei. I invite you to my home and I give you a tray for food. And I don't tell you that it's treif, or I do tell you that it's treif, and I tell you it's okay, you can eat it anyway, even though it's treif. So that's the lifneiva l'sitei mirshal bekum v'yasei. Here is lifneiva b'shevi al tasa. My name, my own business. I'm going into the restaurant with the shvach hashgacha, with the non-reliable hashgacha, to use the restroom or to buy Coca-Cola. But people will misunderstand it, and they'll think that, oh, the fact that the rabbi is going in is an indication that it's a good hashgacha, they can eat meat there too. So that's a different form of, that's what the Stechemen has pages and pages about this. These are two different kinds of marisayin. One is also because of chashoda. It's like Lashon Hara against oneself. And one is also because of lifnei v'lasita mirshal. People will think that it's mutter. So Leitchik said over there, tell over this story about the Chofetz Chaim, that he was once traveling on the train. And in his cabin, there was another Jew who didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. So he struck up a conversation with the Chofetz Chaim. He asked him, where are you going? So he said, he's getting off at Radin. So he said, oh, you live in Radin. Do you know the holy tzaddik, the Chofetz Chaim? And he started praising the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim felt very uncomfortable. So he started knocking down the greatness of the Chofetz Chaim. He wanted to lower down the praises that the Balabas was giving him. So the Balabas said, you are a chatzuf. What are you mevazeh the Chofetz Chaim? So he felt uncomfortable. What is he going to say? I am the Chofetz Chaim. So he was, he felt very uncomfortable until finally they got to Radin. So he jumped off of the train. He went home. Then the other fellow also got off at Radin. And that day, that evening, when they went to Davin in the yeshiva, so the Chofetz Chaim walked up to the front where he usually sat. And this Balabas realized that that was the Chofetz Chaim that he was talking to on the train. So he walked over to him and he apologized why he got angry at him when the Chofetz Chaim was knocking down his own greatness, when he was telling the other Balabas, he's not as great as you think he is. So he realized that the Balabas got angry at him. Why is Mavaz al Chofetz Chaim? So the Chofetz Chaim, so he went and he apologized to the Chofetz Chaim. So then the Chofetz Chaim said, no, it's my own mistake. I wrote so much, I published so much about Lashon Hara, I forgot to write such an obvious din that just like one is not permitted to speak Lashon Hara about someone else, you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara against yourself either. That you're not the Balabas on your own reputation. You have no right to ruin your own reputation. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that story from the Chofetz Chaim, that's what Marisayin is all about. That's the din of Marisayin Mishum Chashoda, that I'll do something and people will think that I'm doing an Isser. And you're not allowed to do that because you're not the Balabas on your own reputation. You have no right to ruin your own reputation, just like you're not allowed to ruin someone else's reputation. Not allowed to ruin your own. I see that I have written down that yesterday we left off, my voice conked out towards the end. I forgot we left off we said over the Ramban on Kiddushin, that the Mishnah, the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, says that women are mechuyavim on mitzvah saseh shalei hazman grama. But mitzvah saseh shalazman grama, women are potter from tzitzis and tefillin, sherif and lulav, okay, sukkah, a couple of mitzvahs, they're potter. However, the Mishnah says that women are chayiv and ma'akeh. So Tosfos there is bothered with Akash and Ma'akeh as a bit example. Maka, the women are mechuyev, even if it would have been a zman grama, women are mechuyev because there's a lois essay. In addition to the essay, you'll see some maka logagecha, there's a lois essay as well. But I saw some damim beveisecha. So a lois essay, even zman grama, women are mechuyev. They're only potter from mitzvah sasei shah zman grama. So why does the Mishnah give that as an example of a mitzvah sasei shah loy ha zman grama? That's why women are mechuyev. Women would have been mechuyev anyway because it's a mitzvah lois essay. So Tosis gave an example. Tosis gave cases where there's only a mitzvah sase, but there is no loisase. Okay. So the Ramban on that daf in Kiddushin, towards the end of the first paragraph, Ramban gives a different answer. He says, when the Chumash says, the loisase is only to be mechazik the essay. If the women would not have been mechuyev in the essay, then they wouldn't be mechuyev to put up a makah because of the lois essay either. Once in a while, the chumash has a lav that's only to be mechazik and essay. So that's what we spoke of in connection with the Tosfos here. So I wanted to end off with a mashal, but my voice didn't function. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chagiga that if a person comes into the Azor on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos and he doesn't bring a korban oilos ria, he's in a violation of the lav leiro fanai rekam. He visited the Azor. Shalvus from Shana Yeruah Kol Zchorchas Pnei Hashem Alakecho. All of the Jewish men have an obligation to visit the Azor. Yeruah Kol Zchorchas Pnei Hashem Alakecho means to visit in the Azor. Leiro fanai rekam. If they come to the Azor and they don't bring with them an oilos ria, then they're over on the lav. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chagiga that the Jew who came to the Azorah and he doesn't bring an Oilas Riyah is over on the lab, but he's in a loike because it's a lab shame on Maisa because he violated the lab by failing to bring the Oilas Riyah. So the Turi Eben in the beginning of Chagiga, that's by the Shagas Aryeh, so the Turi Eben is bothered with Akasha. Why is that a lab shame on Maisa? If a Nazir walk or a Kohen, and those who are in the Kohen are not allowed to be Mitam Mason. The Kohen is not allowed to be Mitam Mason unless it's one of the Zayin Krovim or the Mace Mitzvah. And the Nozer, even if it's one of the Zayin Krovim, the Nozer is the same as the Kohen Gadol, he's not allowed to even be Mitam to the Zayin Krovim, only permitted to be Mitam if it's a Mace Mitzvah. So what happens if the Nozer or the Kohen go into a cemetery and they Mitam themselves? So they're like it. So you see that walking into a location is considered a lav sheyesh b'maisa, that you loike on that. So why does the Rambam say that the Jew who visits the Azara, if he doesn't visit the Azara, he wasn't oile regel and he didn't bring, that he's not in violation of the lav leiro fanai rekam. You only violate the lav if you walked into the Azara and you didn't bring the korban. So why don't you say that walking into the Azara makes into a lav sheyesh b'maisa? Why does the Rambam consider the lav sheyesh b'maisa? So they printed years ago, Rab Chaim used to have a diary every day, and he used to write down at the end of the day different Chidushi Torah, a Tagebuch. And he used to write down different Chidushi Torah. Sometimes these were Shiurim that he said in Valojin, and sometimes these were Chidushim that he thought of. So one of the first things that they have in that diary is on this Shagas Aris Kasha and the Rambam. He says the Rambam obviously thinks that the lav leirona fanai rekam is just to be mechazik the essay of shalosh pam mashana yiro kol zchuchas, a mitzvah to visit the azara and to bring a korban, and whoever visits and doesn't bring a korban is over on the essay. Yiro kol zchuchas means riaspana and bo azara, and the lav is to be mechazik the essay. But by definition, since the lav, it's not a lav bifnatzma, it's a lav, make sure you're mekayim the essay of visiting the Azara and bringing a korban. So by definition, whenever a lav is to be mechazek a mitzvah and you didn't do the mitzvah, that's by definition, it's a lav shem b'maisa. It doesn't matter that you walked into the Azara. But the nature of the Avera is bitl ha'essay. That's why the Rama thinks that that's a lav shem b'maisa. That's what we left out from yesterday. Okay. Then Gemara has Tana Rabbanan, Gaboy Tzedok, Shein Lehem Aniyim L'chalek. What do they do with the leftover money? Oh, L'chalek, they have food. They have food to be L'chalek. So, Partim L'cher, they should distribute the money to others. Vein and Partim, they shouldn't take themselves. Gaboy Tamchui, that's by money. That's by money. They shouldn't take the money themselves. and give back different money, maybe they'll cheat. People may think that they're cheating. Same thing, Gaboy Tamche, they collected food that you give to the Aniyei Olam, Gaboy Tamche Shein Lahem Anim L'chalek. Every day they collected for the Tamche to give to the Aniyei Olam. So Merchem L'Acherim, if you have leftover food, a lot of times, let's say Tzedakah made, they had a big function, a fundraising function, and a lot of people didn't show up. So there's a lot of leftover food. So what do you do with the leftover food? So the Gaboy Tzedakah may decide they'll take the leftover food and they'll pay for it. So the Brisa says that's not a smart idea. They'll take it and they'll pay for it themselves. People may be choshed them that they're not paying the full amount. More correct is that they should pay extra. They should give a donation and pay more than it's really worth. But the Brisa says they shouldn't take for themselves. They shouldn't be partim liatzmam. They shouldn't be mochem liatzmam. They should rather be mochem lacherim. Vein mochem liatzmam. Mishum are a sign that people shouldn't be choshev. Yisim nikim Hashem Yisom. Moya shal tzedakah, if you're counting the money, emoin mosim shtayim shtayim alach hasachem. Shouldn't count the 1, 2, 3. You're going to take two quarters at a time. Two quarters at a time. Or two nickels at a time. Whatever. And say 1, 2, 3, so people may be choshed that the reason why he's counting two at a time is in order to cheat. So the Gaboim has to be act in such a way that shouldn't lead anyone to be choshed them at all. Abai Meresh Lahabi Yosef Mar Atzipa de Beknishna. Abai was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. So he says, Rabbi Yosef, his Rebbe never used to sit down on the mats in the shul, because they used to buy, they bought the mats from leftover money from the Kupa Shel Tzedakah. Kupa Shel Tzedakah is supposed to be Tzedakah L'Aniyim, and this is not everybody in the shul sits on the mats. So he felt that it's a violation. They mishanim it's Tzedakah to Tzedakah. But then, came in the Shama, the Tana Shanasa, L'chom Ashi Yirtzah, when Rabbi Yosef heard this Brisa that the Anshei Ho'ir have a different din, that din ei mishanim it's Tzedakah to Tzedakah, that's the Gemara in the first Perek and Erechin. Once it's a Gilead Gizbe, Mishanim, it's Doka, it's Doka. But if it's a Tzorche Ho'ir, then they have a right to change it. So once he heard this Brisa, Rabbi Yosef, then he would sit on the mats in the shul because he realized that it's Mutta. It's the Anshei Ho'ir have a right to change. Amar Barmeish, Rabbi Abimar, Rabbi Yosef used to have the practice, he used to make Trey Kisi. He used to have one pushke for the Aniyei Ho'ir, one pushke for Aniyei Demasa, Aniyim from the city, one pushke for Aniyei D'Alma, from other cities. Cave in the Shama, the Hoda Amalei Shmuel, Rab Tachlif, Abavim, Abit Chad Kisa, you can have one pushke, and when you have leftover money one day from the Moish Shel Tzedakah Aniyei Ho'ilam, you have a right to use it for Aniyei Ho'ir, or the reverse. Asne Allah, make it tonight. Whatever is left over, you're going to use it for the other things. Yunami Yavid Hachisir. Rabbi Yosef also had that practice. Yunami Yavid Chad Kisav Asne Allah, and he made it tonight. Then the Gemara said, Rabbi Ashi held, I don't even have to make it tonight because whoever gives in this city, all the people come because they want to talk to him and learning, and everybody gives on his das. Then the Brisa ended off al Hasiya al Kitzosim. That Anshe Huir, or the different unions have the right to make tenoim agreements for all the union workers and to penalize those who violate whatever the agreement was. So the Gemara says that the butchers made an agreement, the way it says in our Gemara in the fourth line from the top. I know Beitre Tapchi, it sounds like there were only two butchers who made this agreement, but then the words in the rest of this story don't fit in. Doesn't sound like there were only two butchers, sounds like there are more than two butchers. So that's why the Bach takes out the word Hano Beitre Tapchi, Hano Tapchi. The butchers in the city, Abdi and Yonah, Behadehadeh, they made a deal with each other, that they made a deal, Sunday I sell, and Monday Reuben sells, and Tuesday Shimon sells. Each butcher shop is only open one day a week, so there shouldn't be masa gvul on each other. Right? Otherwise, it may turn out that some of the butchers won't have any parnasa at all. And then they made an agreement also. The command of it, whoever will shech the behemah and sell it on the wrong day, on the day that it's hasagas gul. That day, one of the other butchers has the right to shecht and to sell. So the other butchers have a right to penalize him because he opened on the wrong day. It's hasagas gul. They have a right to rip up his piece of leather, the hide of the animal. Mashche is the hide of the animal that he shechted that day. One of them shechted an animal and opened the stove and selling on the wrong day. So they ripped up, they penalized him. The other butchers went and they penalized them and they ripped up, they destroyed the hide of the animal that he shechted that day. Also the commander of it. So they went for a din Torah and Rava said, oh, the mamazik, you have to pay. Chivinu Rava l'shlumei. The Rabbi said, the one who cut his hide has to pay, like Adam Amasa. Esra Aviyemah Bashalmi, the Rabbi has to cash it. But it says, Befer Shalasi Al Kitzosam, that if the people in the city have an agreement, they have a right to penalize the one who violates the agreement. So, Lahadale Rabbi. Rabbi didn't respond. Rabbi's psak was against that. By Samra Papa Shap Rabbi, the Lahadale Midi. It's a good thing he didn't answer. It was a stupid kasha. That din in the Brisa, Hanimili, the din in the Brisa, they have a right to penalize Lasi al Kitsas, whoever violates the agreements that the community makes up. Hanimil Hechadalek Adam Choshev, but there's no Rav in the community to consult in advance. Avol Hechadik Adam Choshev, Lal Kokain Adam Asni, if there's a Tamachacham in the community and the Balabatam are going to make conditions without consulting the rabbi in advance, that's silly. You have to consult. Here the poskim say la'aloch, it's the Ramo and Hilchas Purim, speaks about the significance of observing minhagim. So he says, the minig is that you make noise when they read Haman's name in the Mikra Megillah. Are you going to make noise so you may miss a word here and there? So the Balkari has to be careful that when they made a lot of noise, when they're clapping Haman, he should pause when they're making noise, and she should repeat that phrase again. Say again Haman's name. And there the... Even though the minig is a little questionable, people may miss out part of the Mikra Megillah. If you miss out one word, say you're not Yotze Mikra Megillah. So the Magen Avraham has a longer arichas over there on that Ramah on Hilchas Mikra Megillah that he quotes from Masechus Sofrim, that a minig, in order to be binding, minig amokam is binding, has to be a minig that was introduced al pi vasikin. Vasikin means chasidim anshe maisa. I remember we were learning Yerideya once. So Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to have one of the students read. So he used to have him read the Gemara with the Rashi, with the Tosfos, and then when we learned Yerideya, had him read. So the boy was reading the Shach, and the Shach was talking about a minig vasikin. So the boy didn't know what that word was. So he thought it's minig Vatican. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, what? What are you talking about? Minig Vatican? What Vatican? What are you talking about? There is such a thing as minig Vatican, but that's not what they mean. They mean minig vasikin. So it's only a binding minig if a community has a minig, if you know the minig was approved by the rabbanim in the community. But if you don't know it was approved by the rabbanim, so then just because the community has a minig doesn't mean anything. Maybe the balabatim, silly balabatim, started a minig. Only has the status of a minig. You have to ask the Rabbanim what's the minig. A lot of times the Balabatim don't even know what the minig is. You have to ask the Rabbanim what is the minig, and they'll know what's a valid minig, what's not. So that's what the Gemara says here. See, al kitzosam, yes, they have a right to penalize those who violate the takana, but the takana has to be approved. It has to have rabbinic approval. If it doesn't have rabbinic approval, then it's not called a minig. Moshe Weinstein quotes this Gemara when he has a tshuva, where he talks about minhagim, have to have the approval of the rabbanim. It's the same as that Magen Avraham in Hilchas Purim. Tana rabbanim nechashim etzdokim gaboy etzdoke. We don't require of the gaboyim v'lo behegdish. We don't require of them that they should give us a report. They don't have to explain where the money disappeared. What's the mockery in Tanakh Shanam? We rely on them. Even though they don't have to give a report, we rely on them. Even though he has a reliable Gabbai Tzedakah, nonetheless, when he gives money to the Gabbai, he should count the money and he should tie it up in a bundle and give it to the gizbar and tell him how much it is. Shenema, or write on the check how much it's made out for, write on the envelope how much money there is in the envelope. As it says, by Yatsura by Yimnu, they counted the money and they gave it to the Gaboyim. And the Gaboyim, Amunahim Oisim, we rely on them, we trust them. Then the Gemara has a machlokes, Rabun and Rab Yudah. When do you have to check? Let's say someone comes from Eretz Yisrael and he wants major donations. So you have to check to make sure. Well, I'm chayiv to give everybody. I take his word for it. So someone should really check. We should have a vad hatzaka. They should make phone calls and they should ascertain which tzakas are more worthwhile than others and how much. All the yeshivas are the same. This yeshiva has 1,000 students, another yeshiva has 35 students. So you don't give the same amount of money to all the different yeshivas. So someone has to check to see whom should we give more money, whom should we give less money. So here the question is, people come and they say, local people, not from Eretz Yisrael, people come and they say they need money. What do they need money for? So one of them says, I'm starving, I haven't eaten in the last 2 days. He looks hungry, but maybe he's making up his story. Or a person comes in rags, in torn clothing, and he says, I don't have any normal clothing. I'm embarrassed to walk around. My clothing is all torn. So do you say bodkim leksus, or do you say bodkim lemezainus, or do you say neither? Maybe you're not bodkim on anything. So that's machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. So the one opinion is that the first opinion is, again, Omer Rav Huna, bodkim lemezainus. If he comes and he says he's hungry, he needs food, you have to be bodkim. And bodkim leksus, why? So either it's based on a pasuk or it's based on a svara. If it's based on a svara, so the fellow who comes dressed in torn clothing, he's mevaze himself. So it looks like he's telling the truth. I come mevaze, but I look mevaze. The one who says that he's starving, we don't know if he's starving. Maybe he ate a big supper last night. He didn't have breakfast yet today. It doesn't mean that he hasn't eaten in 2 days. So the one who says that he's hungry, we have a right. We should first check out to make sure. The one who comes with torn clothing, he was mevaz himself. So that's a raya that he's telling the truth. So that's if you say, Iboy seima svara, that's the svara. Iboy seima kro. So the answer is, where do you see in the pasuk? So the answer is, the pasuk says, halafrois la royev lachmecha. Give food to the one who's hungry. So frois, you could read it as like a kri and exiv. Halafrois la royev lachmecha. It's to be read with a sin, but you could, the ksiv is with a shin, ala proish, you have to be mefarish. Mefarish is you should investigate, and after you did investigation, then you give l'roi v'lachmecha. Masha'ini came with respect to giving clothing, there it says kisir aram v'chisisai, when you see a man who's not wearing any clothing. So you give him right away. It doesn't, the word lifaresh doesn't appear over there. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yudah holds just the reverse of Rav Huna. Rabbi Yudah Amar, where is it? Rabbi Yudah Amar, just the reverse. Bodkim leksus, then bodkim lemezainus. Why? Iboy same mesvara. He's starving. He claims that he's starving. So you should give him right away. The other one, he's not starving. So he's wearing shabby clothing. Maybe he's just putting on an act. The first, the Rav Huna said, the fact that he's mevaze himself by coming into the gaboyim, into on clothing, that itself is a support to his claim. So you don't have to check any further. And the Rav Huna thinks no. The Rav Huna thinks no. The one who claims that he's starving, you have to give him right there. The one who wants to, that you should give him clothing, you should investigate. So either it's a svara, or if it's based on a pasuk, so he says, that's a kri and exiv. The kri is with a sin, and the exiv you can read it lefaresh. So it's like the machlokes, but they say yeshem la mikro, yeshem la masaris. The boy say mikro hocha hocha exiv halafrois laroiv lachmecha pros lealte kiri karina. We follow the kri. You don't follow the exiv. You don't darshan it. You don't interpret the pasuk as if as if you read it farosh, farosh l'roi v'lachmecha. To be mefarish means to investigate, to research, to research. V'hasem esiv kisira arim v'chisisa kishiroi l'cha kisira zenir ali. When you'll be convinced that the fellow is an arim, kisira arim v'chisisa. When you'll be convinced that he's an arim, then you kishiroi l'cha, then you give. So the Gemara said this was a machlek zarpuna Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Kava said the Rabbi Yehuda. There's a brisa that says beferish like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Meila we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Gemara has on the last narrow line Tanan Hosam. There's a Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah in Peya? And Perchsan Loni Hoivam Mimakam Lamakam Mikika Bepunyan. Ani Hoivam Mimakam Lamakam. That's the Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the Daf. Ani Hoivam Mimakam Lamakam. We have to give a Mosen Shtei Sudas. Yeah, this story Mosen Shtei Sudas. Is a din in a ruve trumen. If a person lives in a city, so the whole city is kedal ramas dami, then you have iburish alir, 70 amas, and every city is always, you draw this city, the houses extend all over the place. People build houses wherever they build. And then you draw the city lines as if it were a rectangle. So if it's approximately a rectangle, the way, let's say, New York City, is Manhattan is an island, so it's approximately a rectangle the way it is on the map. So you just fill in the rectangle. If it's not approximately a rectangle, let's say the city is a circle, or the city is like an amoeba, it's all over the place. It doesn't seem, it's not even similar to a rectangle at all. So then Aloha says that you make it into a rectangle. You take the northernmost point of the city, easternmost house. Houses have to be within 70 amas to each other to be a continuation. We explained already, in order to be considered, the city has to be Gimel Chatzeres, and the three Chatzeres, each one has to have Shnei Batim, and the three Chatzeres have to be either contiguous to each other, touching each other, or they have to be within 70 amas to each other, and you have to have a minimum population, 100 people, fine. So you have a city, and then you have Iburish Alir, 70 amas, so you take the northernmost point in the city, the house that's northern, the easternmost point, and you draw a line. By the northernmost point, you draw a line from east to west. And by the easternmost point, you draw a line from north to south. So you draw the city as a rectangle. You make it into a rectangle. Then you draw Shivim Amas v'Shirayim around that. Another 70 Amas for Iburish Alir. Like a pregnant woman has a big belly. So the city has Iburish Alir, has an extension of 70 Amas. And then you draw a Pai Mama around that. So the person wants to go chutz l'tchum. You can only make a ruv etchum in the machlokes of the Gemara in Erevin. So we paskan l'aloch. You only make a ruv etchum in l'dvar mitzvah. He wants to go here a chacham. He wants to go learn there. He wants to go do some kind of a mitzvah. Stam to do a dvar shus. We don't allow you to rely. We don't allow you to make an ruv etchum. So he wants to go the dvar mitzvah. So what do you? So you have to leave. The Eruv Etchumen, the Mishnah says, Bakol Mi'arvin. Eruv Etchumen you can make with any kind of food you want, but you have to have Mazon Shtei Sudas. So let's say you're going to leave gefilte fish. You have to leave two pieces of gefilte fish, enough fish that you would eat in two meals worth. If you're using pickles, a jar of pickles, so you have to have so many pickles, how many pickles one would normally eat in two meals. If you're making Eruv Etchumen with wine, you have to have that amount of wine that you would usually use in two meals. Of bread, you have to have so much bread that you would usually use in two meals. So how much bread would one normally eat in two meals? So that's a machloikis hatanoim. How much is mazon suda achas? Times two. So how much is mazon suda achas? Is it three beitzim of bread or is it four beitzim of bread? Today, people don't eat so much bread. Today in America, everyone's on a diet. And people even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when they say Hamotzi, they hardly have, they barely have a kazayis at the beginning. That's not right. A lot of people, they just nibble a little bit of challah. They didn't even have a kazayis. And then they don't say a bracha on anything else that they eat in the middle. At the end of the meal, they say birchas hamazon. You can't pater the other food from a bracha unless you had a kazayis of bread. And you can't recite birchas hamazon at the end unless you had a kazayis of bread. So you should really make sure that at least you have a kazayis of bread. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah to have a suda. So some poskim say that it's not enough. The Loshon HaGemara on Shabbos is kazayis. even though the person is not hungry, he doesn't want to eat, he should at least have a kazayis. But other poskim say you should have a kebetza, or more correct, you should have yosemi kebetza. Because the Gemara says in Sukkah, the Mishnah says in Sukkah, that on Sukkahs you're permitted to eat achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah, chilas keva, you're not allowed to eat chutz l'sukkah. So how much bread can you eat that's called achilas aroi, and when do you say it's called achilas keva? So the Gemara seems to say up until and including a kebetza of bread is called achilas aroi. Yosem kebetza is called achilas keva. So some of the poskim say in Hilchos Shabbos that for Suda Shabbos, you should really have an Achilas Keva for Leil Shabbos and Shabbos in the morning, Shalva Shudas. If you want to have a snack in between meals, that's a different story. But the Pashto says for the meals, you have to have an Achilas Keva. Achilas Keva is Yosem Mikabetza. So that's what the three different opinions. How much bread do you have to have on Shabbos in the meal in order to be Yotze? A kazayas, a kebetza, or they correct that they think kebetza is a mistake. They think really more correct is yosemi kebetza, because up until then, including a kebetza bread, it's called achilas aroi, that you are permitted to eat chutz l'suk, and only yosemi kebetza pas, called achilas keva. But how much is it normal to eat in a meal? So today we have soup and we have fish and we have vegetable salad. You have kugel and you have chol. You have all kinds of courses in the meal. So you don't eat so much bread. In the days in Europe years ago, they didn't have so much food. The Jewish people were poor, so they used to eat a lot of bread, and they hardly had anything else. They had a kazayis of flesh. Today we have a kazayis of bread. And 10 kazaisim of flesh, a 10 kazaisim of chicken. You have a lot of flesh. But years ago, they didn't have so much. So that's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnayis in Erevin. How much is mazon suda achas? And in Mela, how much is mazon shtei sudas of bread? Is it three beitzim is suda achas? And in Mela, the kikar that you're going to use, the kikah that they're going to use for Erube Tchumen is going to be, and the kikah that you have to give to the Oni over Makom LaMakom, you have to give Mazon Shtei Sudas. So how much bread is that? Is that three, Mazon Shtei Sudas is six kebetzim, or it's eight kebetzim? How much is Mazon Sudachas? Is it three kebetzim of bread? Is it four kebetzim of bread? So that's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, when you try to calculate, because Zayis Bechdei Achilos Pras, that when you say Tam Kiker, if you have an Isa fell into Heter, so if you eat so much of the Tarubis that you had a Kazayis of Isa, then you're like, according to the Rambam, according to many Rishonim, you have to eat the whole Pras. So how much is that Kazayis Bedachilos Pras? Or let's say, in order to be Eitzah, the mitzvah matzah. No, the matzah is not mixed into anything. I'm going to eat matzah, then pause. They're going to eat some more matzah, then pause again. So you have to finish eating the whole kazayis of matzah, or mora for that matter, the same thing. You have to finish eating the whole kazayis of matzah mora, the whole kazayis toch kedei achilos pras. You shouldn't dilly-dally. You shouldn't take so long that you could have eaten a whole pras. A pras means wasn't suda achas. That's either four beitzim or three beitzim. It is a pras of the kikar. The loaf is mazon shtei sudas, and the pras is mazon suda achas. The original din of toch kedei achilos pras is by a bais hamenuga. If there's an institution of tzaras by odom and tzaras begodim and tzaras batim, tzaras batim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have a bais hamenuga, if you have tzaras batim, so it says in the chumash, habol abayis. If a person walks into the bais and he walks out, he just walked in for a half a minute, so he becomes tamid, but the begodim that he's wearing do not become tamid. If he walks in carrying begodim in his hand, then he walks out just like he becomes tamid immediately. So the shoes and the socks and the clothing and the underwear that he carried with him, everything becomes tamid right away. Habol abayis. But if he's wearing the begodim and he walks in and he walks out, then a half a minute later, he becomes tummy right away. But the begodim that he was wearing are batal agav the guf. The begodim are batal agav the guf, and they don't become tummy. Only if it says, Abol Abayis is Tomei, V'Oichel Babayis Echabeis is Begodov. What do you mean? It depends whether it's Oichel Babayis. Why should it depend on Oichel Babayis? So the Gemara, the Tanaim had a tradition. It doesn't mean Oichel Babayis. It means if he's Shoya Babayis, the amount of time that it would take to eat pras chitim, mesa v'erchel v'lifton. How long would it take to eat a pras? Means a half a loaf of bread. Means mazon suda achas. Because the whole loaf of bread is mazon shtei sudas. Eruv etchumen doesn't have to be bread. Eruv etchatzeris has to be emar ben ala betpas. When you make an eruv etchatzeris for the building, that be allowed to carry in an apartment building if you have a lot of Jews, tenants in the same building, have to have Eruv Chatzeres, so that has to be Daf Kepas. And it has to be Lechem Shema Brachem Olav HaMoitzi. The Shaila is that they usually put away a box of matzahs, and as far as them all year long say Barim Minim Zainis on the matzahs. So how is that good? Maybe some of the tenants in the building are Sfardim. So the Gemara said that's okay. Even according to the Sfardim who say Mizainis, on matzah, let's say you can use a loaf, you can use a cake, you can use a cake or cookies for the Eruv Chatzeres also. It's called Lechem Shemavachem Olav HaMotzi, because if you eat a ton of cookies, then you have to wash and you have to say HaMotzi and you have to bench. If you're not Kaveh Suda, then you say Bori Minim Zaynus and Al HaMich, and you don't have to wash. But if you eat a ton of cookies, you eat a lot of cookies, eat a lot of spaghetti, you can eat a ton of spaghetti, it's still going to be Bari Min Mizainis. So you have, let's say, wheatina, farina, oatmeal cereal, or Cheerio, something like that. There's not a loaf. So that's going to be Mizainis, even if you eat five boxes of it. It's going to be Mizainis and Ala Michya. But if you eat cake or cookies that has a loaf shape to it, so that's called Tzuris HaPas. So then, if you eat enough of it, these three dinim are all the rabbanans. Whether you wash it in tilas adayim is a din the rabbanan. Whether you say amoytzi abarim menim zaynis, the whole issue is the rabbanan. Whether you say birchas hamazon or ala michya, the pashta says that it's also only with the rabbanan. On the level of the raisa, if a person will say ala michya, the poshup shat in the gemara is that you will be yoytzi the birchas hamazon. So this, the difference between cake, when do you say hamoitzi, and when do you say bar minim zaynus, and when do you bench, when do you say lamichi, that's all the rabbonans. So really, the cake and the matzah, even though the Sfardim say bar minim zaynus on the matzah, but it's called lechem shavavacham olav hamoitzi, so that's why it's okay. You can, Mora says you can use it for eruv chatzeris, even though ema arvin eruv chatzeris eleba lechem shavavacham olav hamoitzi, that's called lechem shavavachem olav hamoitzi. It's called lechem. It's called pas haba b'kisnin. It's a subcategory of pas. Pas haba b'kisnin. There's a din of pas akum. You're not allowed to eat pas akum. Let's say my next door neighbor baked the bread, and I saw the way he mixed all the ingredients. Everything was kosher. No non-kosher ingredients. And he baked it. I watched everything from the beginning to the end. Everything is kosher. I'm not allowed to eat it. That's a din of pas akum, because it may lead may lead to intermarriage. But if it's pas palter, then the Rama says we're makel. If the goy who baked the bread is the baker for the whole city, if it's my next door neighbor, a private person, and he baked bread, even though I watched and I know all the ingredients, there's a hashash of intermarriage over here. I may enjoy the bread so much, I may decide to marry his daughter, or my son may decide to marry his daughter. It may lead to intermarriage. But if he's the palter, he's not a private person. My next door neighbor is friendly with me and he gives me the loaf of bread because we're good friends. The good friendship may lead to intermarriage. He's the local baker. So why should I fall in love with his daughter? Mr. Non-Jew will marry the daughter of the non-Jew. So that's what the Rama is mekel. The Mechaba asks for Sfardim, and the Rama is mekel for Ashkenazim. That pas palter is mutter. So the whole reason why pas palter is mutter is because one of the considerations is al alechem yichya ha'adam. Bread years ago used to be, now people eat all week long, they don't eat any bread at all. But years ago, bread used to be the most important ingredient in every meal. It used to be a few slices of bread with a little bit of food. The main thing was bread. What about cake? So Tosfos says in the second beginning of the second perek in Beitza, and is quoted in Yerideya, that even if it's pasa bobikistan, if it's cake, that if you eat enough of it, cake and cook, if you eat enough of it, then you say hamoitzi. So pasa bobikistan is called lechem. It's called pas. It's a subcategory of pas. So strictly speaking, just like pas palter is mutter, so pasa bobikistan aba nachri is also mutter if he's a palter. It's called pas palter, and it's mutter. Even though the whole reason of alalechem yichiyodim doesn't apply by pas habobikisnin, people can live very well without cake and without cookies. But still, since it's a subcategory of lechem, it's pas habobikisnin. The din is that when you bake cake and cookies, yichayven hafrashas chala. But it says in Chumash, bachochem yilechem ha'aretz. The answer, it is lechem. It's a subcategory of lechem. It's pas habobikisnin. If the person made witina farina, that's a shayla bishalakam. That's not a shayla of pasakam. That has nothing to do with pasakam. That's bishalakam. It's mutter for a different reason. It's not oil al shulchan alochem. They never serve witina farina on a royal banquet and a fancy banquet. But yeah. So again, so this is an important din. Tanahasam, where is this Mishnah? Tanahasam? What's this letter base? Mishnah and Peya. Okay. Tanahasam, ein person, loni hoivim makam makam, mikika vipunya. Well, the kika is mazon shtei suras, Tosu said, because you have to give them enough bread to eat for two meals. Yeah. And what if on Shabbos you have to give shalosh shudas? On Shabbos you have to give three. Every day of the week they normally used to have breakfast and supper. And on Shabbos they would have Friday night, Shabbos morning, and sudas shlishis they would eat on Shabbos afternoon. They would eat three meals and then they had malam and malka in addition. Yeah. Yeah. There is a Gemara in Shabbos. The second they hear the Tesis, the Ramascha Shabbos. Shabbos Nasalam wasn't shalosh shudas. So Tosfos points out, there is a Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara says, "Vasei Shabbat chachol bal tzitzarech labrios." Instead of taking tzedakah, instead of accepting tzedakah, better is don't eat shalashudas. You can live without shalashudas, and it's better to do that rather than to take tzedakah. But here the Gemara said beferish that the Shabbos, if the oni ha'ivim imakam lamakam, if he's an oni from out of town, and he's coming into the city, so you give him Muslim shalosh shudas. And on the Yahir also, the Gemara has a machloikis. Tosfos quotes from the Gemara Masechus Shabbos. This is a machloikis hatanoim rabchitke is the name of a tana. Rabchitke is all the opinion that you have to have four meals on Shabbos. We don't pass like rabchitke. You only have to have three meals on Shabbos, one Friday night and two meals in the daytime. Because it says, "Ichlu hayom ki Shabbos hayom l'Hashem hayom l'asim tzuhu basode." The whole shalosh shudas is only mid the rabbanon. Most of the rishonim hold it's only an asmachta mid the rabbanon. It's not a real din derais. So the word hayom appears in the pasuk three times. "Ichlu hayom ki Shabbos hayom l'Hashem hayom l'mtzuhu basode." So Rab Chitke is of the opinion you have to have three meals by yom, three meals in the daytime in addition to a meal on Friday night. And by the Hasidim, some Hasidim are makbid to have four meals on Shabbos, one meal Friday night, and then three sudas on Shabbos in the daytime. They call the fourth suda, the last meal that they have on Shabbos, sudas Rab Chitke, going to that time. We don't paskin like Rab Chitke, so we paskin. All you have to have is three meals on Shabbos, one meal Friday night, and two meals in the daytime. So the aniyim who take aniyei ha'ir, so you have to give them not 14 meals every week, you have to give them enough either for 15 meals or for 16 meals. Because they have to have lava malka and they have to have either three meals on Shabbos or four meals on Shabbos. Instead of two meals on Shabbos, like a normal day, breakfast and supper, so on Shabbos you have to have three meals or four meals. Yeah. I would happen to the rule, Asei Shabbat Chachol, but it's Tarech Labriya, so they says, yeah, that means the following. If you can make ends meet without... If you have enough money to have 14 meals a week. And on Shabbos, you'll have the same as on the weekdays. You'll have supper at night and breakfast Shabbos morning, and then Malama Malka. And you won't have a Suda Shlishis on Shabbos afternoon. You'll eat the second meal on the weekend, on Shabbos evening, on Matzoi Shabbos, as Malama Malka. So then, better is, Asei Shabbat Chachol, don't have Shalosh Sudas. Don't take tzedakah. But if the fellow's taking tzedakah anyway, he can't live on what he earned. He doesn't earn enough to buy himself the 14 meals a week. He has to take tzedakah. So once he's taking anyway, so then they should give him for the 3 meals on Shabbos. Either they're like the Chachamim say, Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos, or like Rav Chitke says, 4 meals on Shabbos. That's what they said. Quotes the Machlokes, Rav Chitke and the other Tanoim. So that's this Mishnah in Pei. Ein pochsim lone over makla makim mikika bepunya, and the kika should be mazon shtei sudas. The mazon shtei sudas. Yeah. So again, the original source of this idea of kedei achilas pras. Pras means a half of the loaf of bread. Either the loaf machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah in Erevin. Whether the big loaf of bread for the purposes of Eruvei Tchumen. Eruvei Chatzeres, you don't need so much bread. Eruvei Chatzeres, you need a kegregris for each Jewish family who lives in the building. Let's say you have 100 apartments in a apartment building. You want to make one big Eruvei Chatzeres, everyone should be allowed to carry in everybody else's apartment. So each family has to give grogeres of bread. But if you have more than 18 families, all you need is 18 grogeres. But the 18 grogeres of bread have to be owned b'shutfas by all the 100 families. Not enough that 18 families each gave a grogeres. You have to have all of the 100 families have to own a shutfas and the 18 grogeres. 18 grogeres, api pashtas, the Gemara seems to say, is 6 kibetzim. 6 kibetzim. If you have a box of matzah, I think 6 eggs can fit into a box of a matzah. So a box of matzah, if you have a whole box of matzah, probably has a 6 kibetzim of matzah in it. You have empty space in between one matzah and the other, but I think with the empty space, probably one box of matzah is going to have the 6 kibetzim, which is the equivalent of 18 grogeres. I remember I used to live in 56 Bennett when I first got married, and they told me that there's an Erev in the building you can carry. So after living there a year or so, then one of the tenants tells me, yeah, the matzah in the singular, the matzah is in so-and-so's apartment. I said, one matzah? How can it be? There were a lot of Shamir Shabbos who lived in the building. So yeah, one matzah, that's what Rabbi Breuer said. So I asked Rabbi Posen, was the Dayan and Breuer's at that time. So he said, yeah, they quote a lot of things in the name of Rabbi Breuer. The Balabatim was so ignorant, they didn't even understand what Rabbi Breuer was talking about. So he said, I shouldn't listen to them. That's not correct. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to have a whole box of matzahs, not one matzah. You have to have, there were more than 18 Jewish families, Shomer Shabbos. There were non-Jewish families also in the building. But there were more than 18 families. So he needed 18 grogeres. He needed 6 kibbetz in my matzah. So again, so the original din of kedei achilas pras is a half of the loaf of bread. If the loaf of bread is 8 beitzim, so mazon suda achas is 4 beitzim of bread. If the loaf of bread is 6 beitzim, so mazon suda achas is 3 kebeitzim of bread. So what's the din? If a person walks into the Bais HaMeruga for half a minute, he becomes tummy. If he carries his clothing in his hand, the clothing and the shoes and the socks, everything becomes tummy right away. If he's wearing all the clothing, he walks into the bais and he walks out a half a minute later, he becomes tummy right away. The begotten that he's wearing, a bottle agav the guf, they don't become tummy right away. It only becomes tummy. It says, ho'echa ba'bayis, yechabes es begotten. So the Tanoim had a tradition. It doesn't mean ho'echa ba'bayis. It depends whether he eats in the house. Why should it depend whether he eats? If he eats in the Bais HaMeruga, then the begotten become tummy. If he doesn't eat, doesn't come tummy. Means if he shay ba'bayis, kedei achilo. if he walks into the Bais HaMenuga and he stays there more than a half a minute, he stays there for a minute and a half, he stays there for 2 minutes, a few minutes. So how long, if you show you Kedei Achilas Pras, the amount of time that it would take to eat either three baits of my bread or four baits of my bread, that's a whole Kedei Achilas Pras. That's a normal amount that a person eats in the course of one meal. That's called Ho'echel Babayis. It means Yishoy Babayis Kedei Achilas Pras. But he's not eating anything. If he shoya babayis, if he stays in the Bais HaMenuga so long that theoretically he would have been able to eat three or four baits of my bread, so then not only is he tamei, then the begadim that he's wearing also become tamei. Then the begadim that he's wearing also become tamei. But he's not eating anything. It's just he shoya that. So then the Gemara has to say, the amount of time that it would take him to eat three or four baits of what kind of bread? Paschitim or pasaurim. So the Gemara says, Kedei achilas pas paschitim, mesa ve'echo beliftan. If he were eating a loaf of bread that had either four or three baits of bread, or paschitim, wheat, mesa ve'echo beliftan, dipping the bread, if it's going to be dry bread, it's going to take a longer amount of time to swallow because it's going to get stuck in his throat. If you're going to dip it into salad dressing, then it's going to be moister, so then it'll go down your throat faster. So that's what the Gemara says. Masiv, he's eating it in a reclining position, and he's dipping it into lifton. So that's the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that you measure kedei achilas pras by pras paschitim, a half a loaf of bread, either three beitzim or four beitzim, eating in a reclining position and dipping it into a salad dressing so it'll go down his throat faster. So this is Shaila. What if he's eating matzah on Pesach night? What if he's eating mora? What if he's eating something else? He's eating beets and if you all year long. And the question is, they only say wheat pasch, you only say bar nefashis if you eat a kazayis. So how soon do you have to eat the gazayas? You have to eat the whole gazayas. Kedech kedei achilas pras. In the amount of time that one could theoretically have eaten, a pras means three or four beitzim of paschitim, mesebecha belifton, or a pras of beets, or a pras of eggs. Let's say he's eating eggs. He's eating a gazayas of eggs. He's eating it slowly. So does it mean how long it would take, how long do you have to eat this gazayas of eggs in order to say bar nefashis? The amount of time, have a lot of time, even if you pause in between. The amount of time it would take to eat four kibbeitzim of eggs or four kibbeitzim of paschitim mesavecha beliftan. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch time is, that the many of the poskim made a mistake. The Minchas Chinuch has it on the mitzvah of Gidal Noshe, that you're not allowed to eat Gidal Noshe. And it depends if you eat it, so he says you measure everything that you're eating. If you're eating food, you have to eat a kazayas of that food, of that food. How long would it take to eat a pras, three or four beitzim of that food? The only time we have a specific food, pas chitin, mesevechel beliftan, that's by shoy bebayis hamenuga, because the guy's not eating anything. The Chumash says, Ha'echa Babayis, Ha'echa Beis is Begadov, it does mean Ha'echa Babayis. It means if he Shoya Babayis, if he stays in the house so long, Kedei Achilas Pras. The Achilas Pras of what food? He's not eating any food. So there, the Halacha Moshe M'Sina says, Pras Pas Chitim, Mesa V'Echa B'Liftim. But if you're eating Gidal Noshe, it depends how long would it take to eat a Pras of Gidal Noshes. Three or four Beitzim of Gidal Noshe. If you're eating hard-boiled eggs, how long would it take to eat three or four hard-boiled eggs? Because I'm eating eggs. Okay, so that's a Mishnah in Peah. In Pechsan Lani, you have to give him, you have to give him a kikar. The kikar is a mazon shtei sudas. And not just the bread, you have to give him the food, the rest of the food also. Then if he sleeps overnight in your city, so then, lon, That's on the first wide line on Tesam and Aleph. Lon, if he sleeps overnight, Nesam loy panasas lina. My panasas lina, what does it mean? You have to give him puriya bed, beisadya. You have to give him a pillow and a blanket and so on. Shavas nasalamos and shavashudas, that's the Tesis. Tesis says, Iba, the Gemara says, there are masach shams, I say Shabbat chachol, but it's tarach labriya. So that's what Tesis says, yeah. If you can avoid taking tzedakah, avoid it. Asei Shabbat chachol, don't eat shalashudas. But ben kovako, you have to live off of tzedakah. You don't make enough money to have the 14 meals in the week. You have to take tzedakah. So then you should get for shalashudas as well. And if you hold like rabchitke, you take for the shudar avias as well. That's the halacha. That's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, yeah. Then if the fellow's only hamachazer ala psochim, then the gabbai doesn't have to give him kikar, mozen shtei sudas, because he's going to ring on people's doorbells. He's going to go get. You have to give him something. You're not going to give him anything that people will think that the gabbai ascertained that he's a fraud. But the gabbai doesn't have to give him a matana merubah. He has to give him a matana muetas. Okay. Then the Gemara says, what's the minimum amount of tzedakah that you have to give every year in order to fulfill the mitzvah? Tzedakah, Amar Abasi, this is about the 10th wide line. Amar Abasi, by the tiny letter Vav, every year. The Shach Nyeredeh writes, the Shach Livne Vilna. So the Shach writes, there was a minig. He didn't start the minig. The meaning was that the gabbai went around with the pushka only on Sheni B'chamishi, 2 days a week, every week, only on Monday and Thursday. Vosep is the bigger mitzvah to give tzedakah on Monday and Thursday than the rest of the week. He's trying to figure out what's the reason for the meaning. So he thinks since the dinners you have to give, the minimum amount you give for tzedakah is shlishis ha-shekel every year. How much is shlishis ha-shekel? Let's make a cheshbon. Pidyon Aben is 5 shkolim. So Pidyon Aben, they quote from the Chazanish. Chazanish was a brother-in-law of the stipler. So the stipler put out a whole sefer shurim shalter, how to calculate all the different shurim. He has a long arichas, a whole thin little sefer. So he quotes in the Chazanish who says that Pidyon Aben, Meikar Adin, is really 96, the value of 96 grams of pure silver. Goes up, it goes down, depends on the value of silver. In recent, the last couple of years, silver went up. For many years, a pruta was less than a penny. And now pruta is in between 1 penny and 2 pennies. It's more than a penny. So it could be it's more than 2 pennies. I lost track already. So the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that Pidyon Aben is 96 grams of pure silver. They have someone gave me a matana a couple of months ago, a sefer, Menhoge Achasam Sefer. So they quote all different Menhogim, very nice sefer put together, a lot of information there. So the Achasam Sefer was of the opinion that Pidyon Aben is much less than the Chazon Ish. Something like 75 grams of pure silver, 74 grams, something like that. But now it became popular because of the stipula sefer Shurim Shel Torah that the Chazon Ish said that the Ikar Adin is 96 grams of pure silver, and the meaning is that you give 100 grams. Some hold that you're not yotz unless you give 101 grams of pure silver. Okay. So you have to establish how much is 96 grams or 100 grams of pure silver. So I remember in the middle of this summer, I was learning Bchoris. We were learning that Perek, next to the last Perek in Bchoris, all about Pidyon Aben. One Perek has all the dinim, Perek Yesh Bechor. So I was learning with my Chabrus. I had a smartphone. So I asked them, how can you figure out how much is Pidyon Aben today? You have to find out how much about 100 grams of pure silver sell for. So he, in a half a minute, he found out, and we were learning together in August. So he said that day, 100 grams of pure silver would sell for $82. So Pidyon Aben, wow, Pidyon Aben is $82. Used to be $5 was Daiva Oyser. And now it became much more. We assume that you have to give the value of 100 grams of pure silver on the Yom Lamed Aleph. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, which is not, we don't follow that. I don't think people follow Rav Moshe's tshuva. Moshe quotes the Gemara, the first daf in Bab Metziyat Perek HaZohav. So the Gemara says on the first daf, once you establish how much Pidyon HaBen is, so it stays the same amount. So what does that mean? So Rav Moshe says, once in the days of George Washington, when they founded Hakamas HaMedina in America, and they started the monetary system, there were Indians here before, but they didn't have any monetary system. So once they instituted a monetary system, in the days of George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, whatever, the founding fathers, so at that time, how much was Pidyon HaBen? Whatever. So it stays like that, the same amount, Le'olam Vo'ed, until there'll be a major change in the monetary system. There, Rav Moshe has a Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. What's considered a major change in the monetary system that you have to change, that you have to reconsider how much you have to give? And most people don't assume like that. Most assume like the Chazon Ish said. Not once you established in every Medina, let's say, when they founded the British Empire, when the first king of England, when they founded the monetary system, so how much was 100 grams of pure silver? And it stays the same, the Olam Vo'ed, and there it's so when they established a monetary system, how much was Pidyon HaBen? It stays the same. So no two countries will be the same amount on any given day. If you do the Pidyon HaBen in England, it'll be so much. Do the Pidyon HaBen on the same day in New York, on the same baby, it'll be a different amount. And there won't be a conversion table. It won't be the same amount in America and in England and in Brazil and so on. Every country is going to depend on Hakamas HaMedina and the monetary system again. So we usually assume, not like Rav Moshe said, we usually understand that Gemara, the first half in Perek HaZov, once you establish for this baby, when this baby was Yom Lamed Aleph, when this baby became Mechuyev and Pidyon HaBen, how much was 100 grams of pure silver? So for the purposes of this Pidyon HaBen, for this child, it doesn't change, even though the price of silver goes up or goes down. Once you establish on Yom Lamed Aleph how much you have to give, so you leave it that same amount. But you don't say, once it was established in the days of George Washington, when they first founded the monetary system, that doesn't stay the same. Most assume, I think, not like Rav Moshe, most assume like the Stipler, but the Chazon Ish, once it was established on the Yom Lamed Aleph of this particular baby. Anyway, so let's say Macharusa said that that day that we were learning that perek about Pidyon HaBen, he said that day Pidyon HaBen was $82. Pidyon HaBen is 5 sloim. So if you divide 82 by 5, that'll be 1 seller. And this is shlishis hashekel, shlishis haseller, 1/3 of that. So if you take $82 as 5 sloim, and you divide it by 5 times 3, divided by 15, how much are you going to get? You're dividing 15 into 96 grams of pure silver. 15 into 96. So that's going to be shlishis hashekel. So if you give, it's a couple of dollars. So if you give less than that, then they're not yotzei l'mitzvah tzedakah. If a fellow is a multimillionaire and he makes a fortune, he's not yotzei tzedakah if he's going to give $10 a year. This is one of the dinim that it depends. When it comes to tzitzis and tefillin, everybody wears tefillin the same. Everybody wears tzitzis the same. When it comes to Eulah Sri and Shalmich Hagiga, then the Mishnah says, so the same tzedakah, if a person can afford to give more, he has to give more. Not Yotzei. The poor man gives a shlishis hashekel, he gives $10 a day, that's more than enough. If you don't give shlishis hashekel, the Gemara says, you're not Yotzei, the mitzvah of tzedakah. Once you give shlishis hashekel, you're Yotzei, unless you earn more money. So the Shach says, he's explaining, he's guessing, why was the meaning in Vilna? When he lived in Vilna, he had to run away in 1666, when they had the Xeris of, when was it, 1668, the Xeris of Tach V'Tat, when Chmelnitsky was killing Jews right and left. So the Shach and many other Gedolim lived in Vilna. They all ran away. They didn't come back. They ran for their lives. But when the Shach lived in Vilna, that was the meaning that the Gaboim only collected stock with the Pushka Monday and Thursday. So he says the smallest coin that they had in Vilna at that time, if you would give it Monday and Thursday, twice a week, that would add up to more than Shlishis HaShekel. And sometimes Monday and Thursday turns out to be Yontif. So you don't collect. So even taking off the days that turn out to be Yontif, if everyone in the shul would give the smallest coin twice a week, Monday and Thursday, they would give the Shlishis HaShekel. So he's guessing, he thinks maybe that's why the meaning developed, that the Gabbai only went around with the Pushka to collect on Sheni V'Chamishi, so everyone should give a Shlishis HaShekel every year. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If an Ani doesn't give Shlishis HaShekel, Ani also have a chiyuv to give Tzedakah. So they should give, they try to give a Shlishis HaShekel. Then the Gemara says, "Vam Rabasi." He made another comment. Shkula tzedaka kenegad kol hamitzvos. Such an important mitzvah. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, this is the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So it says in the pasuk, "Ve'ha'amadnu aleinu mitzvos," and it only says they gave shlishis hashekels. Why is it called mitzvos? Mitzvah in ksiv ala mitzvos means that shkula mitzvos tzedaka kenegad kol hamitzvos kulam. Then the Gemara has the famous Maimra Amar Rab Lozer. Rab Lozer was an Amur of Meretzil Talmud of Rab Yechanan. Amar Rab Lozer, Godel Hama'asa Yosem Min Ha'oisa. The one who pressures the Gabbai, who is Mevaza himself and he schnor his money, he pressures other people that they should give tzedakah. It's a lot of times it's easier to make out a check for $100 rather than to go ask other people for money. People are embarrassed to ask others. It's a thankless job to be the Gizba Shel Tzedakah. People, you annoy people a lot. They're not happy with you. So that's what the Gemara says. You get big rewards. God l'hama'asa yosem in ha'isa. The one who pressures others to give tzedakah, he's mevaz himself to pressure others. He gets more reward than the one who actually gives the tzedakah. God l'hama'asa. One who pressures the others to give tzedakah gets more reward than the oisa, than the one who actually gives the tzedakah. And he says it based on the pasuk. Maisa hatzdok means those who pressure others to give tzedakah. That's going to bring shalom. Then he has another comment. V'yomer Rab Lozer, three lines from the bottom. It's much based on Mikdash Yikayim. The person gave his machtes hashekel to the Beis Hamikdash, and he gets a kapara. There's much ain't Beis Hamikdash kayim. So what can you do to get a kapara? And most of tzedakah muta malah boim up to kocham. So by you give the tzedakah is mechaper. Tzedakah tatzol mimavus. That's what the Gemara quotes pesukim. With tzedakah tatzol mimavus. And if you're not going to give the right amount of tzedakah boim up to kocham in Eitlam is right, then they'll take taxes from us. And even though the money was paid out to the Goyish government as taxes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it Afal Pichain Nechshur Alehem Letzdokah. As the Pasuk says, and Rabbi says, when a Ksayach Tzedokah, when the Goyish government pressures you that you have to give them taxes, so that money that you give to the taxes is considered as if you had given it to Tzedokah. Then the Gemara quotes a memra from somebody. It's a question who this somebody is, Machlekes Rashi and Tosis, whether this somebody is Rav Sheshes or this somebody is the other Ramayra. What was his name? Who was the other name? Rabbi Chedvi Barami. What is the memory and the name of Rabbi Loza? The pasuk says, "Va'yilbash tzedakah ki siryon." Lo malach. Ma siryon zeh, a coat of armor, called klipa. Klipa, it's made up. It consists of tiny pieces of metal, but one little piece of metal can't protect the person. But if you have a whole suit of armor, Kol klipa klipa mitzarefes l'siryon gadol. It adds up to make a big coat of armor. So too, if you give a pruta for tzedakah, what can you? You can't even buy anything with a pruta. But if you give, you collect a penny from one and a penny from another. It adds up together. So a person should not make fun of the fact that others are only giving a penny or a very insignificant amount of money. All the money adds up together, and it does accomplish.
I'm going out with knowledge, okay?
Kebeged Edim, the other one says a different pasuk. Kebeged Edim called Tzidkosen. Kebeged Edim is a shmata, like a dirty diaper. All the tzedakah that we give, all the frumkeit that we do, all the mitzvahs that we do is like a filthy clothing, like dirty begotten man. But so the one interpretation is called Tzidkosen, or giving up charity. What does it mean? Ma beged zeh. How do you make a beged? How do you make a garment? You have a lot of threads. So one thread? One thread is not going to cover the body. But kol neiman midim mitzarefes lebeged gadol. If you have one thread, another thread, another thread, you have thousands of threads. You add it all together, makes up a whole garment. Abzokel kol pruta pruta mitzarefes lecheshbon. Shouldn't make fun of the fact that someone's only giving a penny. The penny can add up to many other pennies. So the one who said this said it in the name of Rabbi Loza. And we call him the child who made his mother crazy. His mother acted like a mad woman. And Mar says, Ula is not the fellow's name. Ula means a child. There was a child who caused his mother to act in a crazy way. Who is that referring to? So that's a Shaila, Rashi, and Tois. Is that referring to Rav Sheshes? Is that referring to Rav Ached Vibarami? So the Gemara says, am I correlate? Why do they refer to whoever it is they're referring to? Either Rav Sheshes, Rav Ached Vibarami. Why do you refer to him as the child, Meshagish Uchas Adiyime, the one who made his mother act like a Meshuganet? Because these two Amaroim once had a conversation. They were adults already. Boy, Menei, Rav Ached Vibarami, Rav Sheshes. He asked them, how do you know Menayim Mitzor B'mei Sifiroi Shemetame Odom? The four things that are Mekabel Tuma, Odom, Mekelem, Ochlem, Amashkim, four categories of things. And the Gemara says on the first half of Baba Kama, if you have an Abhatuma, that's Metame, any one of the four, Odom, Mekelem, Ochlem, Amashkim. If you have something as a Tolda, a Rishon Letuma, there's Rishon Sheni, Shilish, Revi, Chamishi. So, from an avatuma or avi avaisatuma, a dead body is called avi avaisatuma. But oichlam amashkin can be mekabel tuma from a rishon letuma as well, from tolda. So here you have a mitzora. A person has a negatzaras. Negatzaras is the only tuma that doesn't happen by itself. If a person attends a funeral, he becomes tamei, whether they declared him as tamei or not. If he came in contact with the mace, he becomes tamei. If you touch a piece of nevela meat in the AMP, if you pick up a package of non-kosher meat, so nevela is matamei b'maga u'b'masa. Maga, it's all wrapped up. It's wrapped in a package, so you're not touching it. But if you pick it up, that's masa, so it's matamei b'masa. So an av hatume can be mitame od mekele mochel mashkim, but a rishon hatume can only mitame ochel mashkim. So they wanted to know what's the din if a person was a mitzora. First, he's a mitzora bimei hezgero. The hezgiras hanegel shivas yamim. Sometimes you have hezger. Sometimes you don't make a hezger. But sometimes you have to see. So you do Yemei Hezgeru for 7 days, and the Kohen looks at it at the end of the 7 days. So if this Pisoyon, if the Nega grew, it expanded, you put a mark, let's say you wrote an ink on the skin, how far the Nega Tzaras went. And then at the end of the week, you see that it's further than it was last week. Or you took a picture of it, and you see next week that it got bigger. So that's Pisoyon. So then the coin declares that it's tummy. Or if you have michya means if you have the negatzaras, and in the middle of the negatzaras, part of the skin turned back to normal color. That's michya's basachai baseis. or if you have, say, a lovan developed after the nega. First the nega grew, and then the say a lovan, two hairs turned white. So that's cause either michya or pisoyon or say a lovan is cause to declare that he's a mitzora muchlat. So the Mishnah has in the first perek in Megillah, Ein b'mitzar muchlat, mitzar muzgar. What are the differences, lalacha? So then let's say the fellow was a mitzora muchlat for a year or two, of 10 years, and then it starts healing by itself. So you have to take shtei tzipar m'chayis tahoris, and then you do the yeshech, the tzipar hashkuta, alamayim hachayim, and you send away the tzipar hamshulachas. And then the fellow goes to the mikveh, and it says v'taher. But then it says, v'yosha michutz lahola, he's also b'tash m'shamita for the next 7 days. And then he can become, then he brings the karbonis. At the end of the 7 days, he brings the karbonis. So the last 7 days, after bringing the shteitz et parm chayis tahoiros, that's called shivas yemei sfira. So it says, in between yemei chaluto and yemei sfira, it says he went to the mikveh v'taher. So the tumor goes away. So you don't know, but then he has to go to mikveh again at the end of the 7 days. He brings the kabbonis, goes to mikveh again. So exactly what tumor does he have during the 7 days yemei sfiro? So he's counting 7 days before he brings the kabbonis. How much of a tumor is this? So that's the shaila. The Mishnah says, the Taptos says, he's asking, he knows what the din is, he just does not know what the makor and chumash is. That's what Tosfos says. Minayin l'mitzora b'mei sfiro. The last 7 days, shemetame od pshita lo nemetame. It's enough in a mishneh in kelim. I know that he's tame. The question is, what's the mocker? Minayin. And then Tosfos explains over here. Makibus and dibra later in the daf. Makibus godem hamba b'mei chaluto. The pasuk says in between yemei chaluto and yemei sfiro. So it says he goes to mikvah v'taher. So it says the level of tumah goes down. And not Torah legamre, he's still metamei odom. It says a Mishnah is metamei odom. But the Gemara is just asking, how do you know? So the Gemara is going to say, some of the dinim of tzaras, he already became tohar when he went to the mikveh. If the mechaluta were up, and some of the dinim he still has. So that's what the Gemara says. How did the Mishnah in Kalim know that the person, the Mitzor, the Mesfira, during the 7 days before he brings the Karbonis, how do they know that he's Mitame? Or the Mishnah says that he's Mitame. How do they know? This was a Rabbi Chedvei Barami, yes, Rabbi Shez. Manana Mitzor Mesfira, Shemitame Odom. Omalo, Pashit, he's an Avhatum of Baharai's Mitame Begodim. So if he's Mitame Begodim, because it says at the end of the 7 days, he brings all the kabbonis. At the end of the Shivas Yemei Sfiro, he's counting the 7 days, Shivas Yemei Sfiro. I think usually it's spelled Sfiro with a Yud, not with a Vav Sfuro. I think it's usually Shivas Yemei Sfiro. So since it says, Baruchetz, it says he has to be Toivul his Begodim. So you see that he's Metame Begodim. So if he's Metame Odom Mikalim. No such thing as only metame odom, only metame kelim and not metame odom. If it's metame begodim, then it's metame odom also. So that's how you know that the mitzor b'mei sfiroi is metame odom. And I'm the same mei sfiroi she metame odom. Amalos, Rav Sheshi's answers, only metame begodim, metame amalei. Nah, that's not a good proof. Rav Chedve Baram b'taim is dil metuma b'chiburim shani. It says the begodim that he's wearing become tummy. So Rashi learned maybe only the begotim that he's wearing become Tomei, Doho, because we have such a similar din. Isit Nevela. We better stop now because you got to get ready for Mincha. Okay, we're gonna leave off over here. It was recommended. I thought I'm going to get to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Well, okay, there's some more miscellaneous dinim here. Maybe we'll stop here temporarily and we'll start Chazorah from the beginning, because the end of next week we're supposed to have the midterm. So we're mamish in the middle of this Yalfusa on Tesla base. And after the midterm, then we'll get back to it. Okay, Tov, we'll stop for today.